Hello and welcome to Weapons and Warfare for Straight Arrow News. I'm your host, Ryan Robertson, and this week we have something very special for you. An extended conversation with former naval aviator and F-18 Hornet pilot Matt Buckley, call sign Wiz. We originally connected with Wiz for a conversation about China's military ambitions and what they say is a sixth-gen stealth aircraft. If you missed last week's episode, I highly recommend going back and checking it out after you watch this week's episode. But beyond China, I wanted to talk about Matt and his foundation, No Fallen Heroes. It's a 501c3 public charity, and its mission is to help heal veterans, first responders, and their families. Ultimately, the foundation's goal is to end suicide in the veteran and first responder communities by treating their PTSD, depression, and anxiety through alternative forms of medicine. Through the foundation, Wiz is working to educate and bring awareness to the mental health challenges that veterans and first responders face every day. According to the website, No Fallen Heroes envisions a world where those in need have local access to life-saving psychedelic-assisted therapy. My conversation with Wiz was wide-ranging and covered a lot of ground. His views are based on his life experiences and may not be shared by everyone here at Weapons and Warfare or Straight Arrow News.
Heads up, possible course language ahead. Consider yourself warned.
When you started the foundation, when did it happen? Why did you start it? And what was the impetus?
Well, I guess the impetus was starting in childhood. I was sexually abused as a child, one of six Irish Catholic kids from South Jersey, South Philadelphia, typical Irish Catholic family. I was an altar boy and all that type of stuff. And my middle sister, Monica, she was killed by a drunk driver when she was 19. And that was a hand grenade that went off in my family. I mean, technically, when she died, I lost my parents too. I mean, they were just, I mean, my dad was done. I think he died years later of a broken heart. So very tough childhood and high school. But, you know, I grew up on the Jersey Shore, the real one, not the MTV one, but I grew up on the Jersey Shore. I love the beach. I love the ocean. And one of my best friends who lived across the street, his dad was larger than life. He was an Eastern Airlines pilot, but he flew F-106s out of the Atlantic City Air National Guard. And this guy drove a Trans Am, you know, he was a Vietnam, you know, fighter pilot. And I'm like, holy crap, I want to do that. Yeah. And obviously being a beach guy and Navy, I'm like, I want to fly fighters off a carrier. So I did, you know, God takes care of fools, drunks and sailors. So I lucked out and it sucked because now I'm really going to age myself. In 86, I was a junior in high school, tracking to go Navy and fly fighters for the Navy. And then the movie Top Gun comes out. I'm like, son of a bitch. Then everybody wanted to be a fighter pilot. I'm like, of course, Murphy's Law. So I just had to bust my ass even more. Lucked out, ended up selecting F-18s and out of California. And I did two deployments, Kitty Hawk and Abraham Lincoln over to Iraq. But on my first workups, like before you go on cruise, you got to get ready to go on cruise, right? It's called workups. You're actually gone more getting ready to go than when you're gone. You know, you go out to the boat for a month and learn how to land on the boat. Then you go up to Nevada to drop bombs and break big rocks into little rocks. And then, you know, back to the boat because you might have forgot how to land on it. So during workups, during my first squadron, we lost eight air crew.
Wow.
Eight air crew. Three in a Prowler, two in a Tomcat, you know, two in Hornets. I mean, it was just the first female F-14 pilot crashed trying to land on the Lincoln. I was like, holy shit, man. I just got into this stuff. We didn't even head west from California towards Iraq, and we lost eight. Yeah. So in 15 years of flying fighters, I lost 16 buddies. Not a single combat loss out of those 16. Bad decisions, bad weather, stupidity, God. But that was a ton of trauma, man. And then just beating the shit out of it, pulling, you know, 7-8 Gs, dogfighting the air. You know, I'd fight the jet on the edge of consciousness, right? You pull a bunch of G, the blood's coming out of your head. squeezing your legs and your abs to, oh, there he is, you know, now back on the G, just beating the shit out of yourself. And then coming back and landing aboard the boat. If you sit in your driveway in your car and a crane pulls you up to the second story and let's go, that's the equivalent force of landing aboard a carrier. Wow. It's never less, or you don't land. And then oftentimes, especially if the deck is pitching, it's often more. So, and I remember one of those days, you know, going, launching off the boat, catapult launch, 0 to 200 miles an hour in a second and a half, brain to the back of your medulla oblongata or whatever. So I remember landing aboard the boat after a dogfight and sweating, and, you know, I'm a 27-year-old kid. And I remember going in the ready room and the flight surgeon just looked at me and he shook his head. He's like, man, you guys don't want to know what happens to you. I'm like, whatever, man, I'm at the top of the world. So, you know, physically beat me up, mentally beat me up, you know, just a bad situation. I flew fighters for the reserves for about 5 years out of Naval Air Station Fort Worth. Separate long conversation. My first and last day at work at American Airlines was 9/11. Packing for my first trip, saw the attack, raced out to the air station to my fighter squadron, and we ended up manning an air combat patrol with the F-16 squadron next door. Wow. Separate story. I bring that up because I got furloughed, you know, which is a polite airline term for laid off.
Yeah.
So I on active duty, I taught myself how to trade. I didn't join the Navy to get rich. So I'm like, you know what? Let me learn how to trade stocks and options. So I got hired by a trading firm in Chicago. And this is all getting to the foundation because I was still flying Hornets and I was in Chicago in a trading firm. So I'd go from an organization where you trust the men and women with your life, or they're not in that organization anymore, to Wall Street, where I couldn't trust a dude to watch my wallet if I went to the bathroom for 5 minutes.
Right.
It was a horrific transition. I'm like, oh my God, you people are disgusting. There were guys that would push their own mother in front of a bus for a dollar. And I was lost. Hit the booze, hit the drugs. I lost my mission. I lost, why am I getting up? You know, and I was making a shit pot of money. I'd never seen that much money in my life, but I was empty.
Yeah.
And then along the way, on active duty and in the reserves, I lost two F-18 brothers to suicide. And then when I stopped flying, a groomsman in my wedding, who I got winged with in Kingsville, Texas, man, one of my best friends, Eric Swenson, Marine Hornet guy, beautiful bride and five kids, just decided to leave as well. I was devastated. So three F-18 suicides. And then in 2020, literally it's a God. Oh, every moment's a God moment. This was a huge God moment. I had a buddy in the White House in December of 19. He's like, dude, there's something that escaped from a level 4 lab in Wuhan, China. They're digging up the highways around the city. They're sending in mobile crematoriums. We're freaking out. I'm like, what? I'm trading. Right.
Yeah.
So, and I'll never forget this as I was starting to hear some tipper. I'll never forget. January 22nd, Trump is in Davos. Remember, every year there's the annual Beautiful People Conference in Davos.
Yeah.
And it was a throwaway interview in a CNBC. It was Joe Kiernan, Donald Trump, CNBC interview. Hey, you know, Mr. President, before you go, what's this China flu or China bug? Joe, dumb question. Why are you even asking me such a stupid question? You're such an idiot. I trust you. Good, great backswing. Been to Mar-a-Lago. You're an idiot. Not coming here. I looked into this camera. I was in a live trade brief, man. We were watching it. I told my members, I'm like, get out. Get out of it. I'm like, buy puts on the S&P 500. Get long volatility. We pounded the market into the dirt for 3 weeks as the smart money got on TV and said, what? Oh, this is a bottom. Oh, I'd be a buyer of stocks here. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
I bring this up because in like 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks, we made... I made $2.5 million in trades.
Wow.
Why does that matter? My dad always told me after, you know, before he died, he was like, Matthew, you can't take it with you, buddy. You're not a pharaoh. They don't put it in your casket. Not, you know, I'm not one to quote the Bible too often, but, you know, it'll be easier for a camel to pass through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And that was right after my buddy had died. So I told my wife, I said, you know what? And back then the government number, which is a lie, was 22, seven, whatever it was back then, 18, 19, 22 yeah. veterans were dying every day from suicide. And I was like, that's a mass shooting. Yeah. I hate even talking like this to the universe. Could you imagine if 22 children, not once a year, were every being day. Shot?
Yeah, every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
This country, we would flip the fuck out.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what, Susie, let's start a foundation to try and end veteran suicide. But how do you keep a guy or a gal from killing themselves? I was like, what, help him with job placement, buy him a suit, help him write a resume. I was clueless. But around that time, a buddy of mine's like, hey, there, I got a SEAL buddy. There's a group of special forces dudes that go down to Mexico and they do psychedelic assisted therapy to heal their trauma. And there's a really cool group going in a couple weeks. Would you want to go? And I said, man, go to Mexico and do drugs with Navy SEALs. It sounds like a great weekend. Sign me up.
Yeah.
But, I look back on it and laugh now because I did my prep. I had coaching calls and, you know, had my integration or, you know, pre-flight planning, but there was no way I could have ever known what was going to happen. So I ended up going with a pretty cool group. Marcus Luttrell, obviously everybody knows who Marcus Luttrell is, lone survivor.
Yeah.
Another teammate of his. And then JT, Jared Taylor from Black Rifle Coffee.
Wow.
And then an NFL veteran. His name's Robert Gallery. He was an All-American at Iowa. Big dude. Went and played in the NFL. And, you know, you meet in San Diego and you drive about an hour south to a clinic. Why? Because if you did this in San Diego, you're a felon.
Right.
If you do it an hour south, it'll save your life. But anyway, I bring that up because, we take a little convoy down to the clinic and I was in the car with Robert. And I got to tell you, Ryan, I was sitting in the car next to a dead iceberg. He was a big gray. He needed like a sickle. And I mean, I was like, oh my God, this guy's awful.
Yeah.
I bring this up because let me just fast forward real quick a year. A year later, I'm at a fundraiser in San Diego out on Coronado and this big freaking dude bumps into me. I'm like, holy shit, I'm going to get my ass kicked. It was him. And he was a completely different human being.
Wow.
I didn't even recognize. I'm like, oh my God, Robert. He was a different human. So we went down to a clinic called The Mission Within. I think it's in Tijuana, I think they call it.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, you know, clinic overlooking the Pacific. It's right out of Central Casting, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
And I got to tell you, man, I don't know how much time we have, but we sat with the first night, we sat with a medicine called ibogaine. Iboga, I-B-O-G-A, is root bark from Gabon, Africa.
Okay.
Central West Africa. If you do iboga, the actual root, it's like, I've done iboga down in Costa Rica. It's like sawdust. It's you're chewing on sawdust, man. And
tree bark.
tree bark. As the name sounds, it's tree bark. It's got about 12, I think, alkaloids in it. And in the West, we pull out one of the alkaloids called ibogaine, which just has incredible healing characteristics. One of them is neuroplasticity, right? You can Google Navy SEAL Stanford study. So Stanford, not Boca Raton Community College, Stanford did a ibogaine study with 30 plus SEALs, and I think 80, 90% of them up to a year, 2 years later showed 0% PTS. I mean, these were suicidal dudes and bad guys in a bad place. So ibogaine has neuroplasticity. It can regrow dead neural pathways. So some of these guys, we gave a grant to a SEAL who was a breacher, right? Explosion, you know, gray, black, and dark on his brain scans. 3 months after the ibogaine, it was completely white.
Wow.
Right. So neuroplasticity. And then it's got incredible addiction interrupter. I was a drinker. Not proud to say. I don't know if you can be a good drinker. I was a bad drinker. Ryan, I couldn't look at or smell alcohol for a year after I came home. If I smelled like a vodka, like in the room, it would make me dry heave. It was that much of a shock to my system. Now, 4 years later, if I want a glass of red wine with my steak, I can do it. But old Wiz, a glass was the bottle, probably two or three.
Sure.
It destroyed alcohol in my life. And the experience itself was a 12 to 14 hour journey. And you're wide awake. People are like, oh my God, you're tripping or whatever. I'm like, no, I got my eye shades on. Eye shades up. There's Marcus. There's JT. There's two nurses. There's the EKG monitor because they're monitoring your heart rate. All right. Yeah. I'm on Earth. Eye shades back on. Full movie.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, Ryan, I got 30, 40 years of healing in 12 to 14 hours. Wow. It was not fun. It was not recreational. I'll tell you, man, I've landed a Hornet on a carrier in the middle of the Pacific at night in bad weather, low on fuel. That was easy compared to this experience. It was extremely challenging. Very challenging.
I mean, when we're talking about repairing dead neural pathways in the brain, that's obviously going to have an impact with what your mind is experiencing in that moment. And I'm, you know, not to go into it, but I've been to college towns. I know what psychedelics do, you know, but the experience that you're describing was a very, you know, clinical, very control. Everybody was safe, you know, like not like back in my day where we wandered around the woods and hopefully didn't get eaten by a bear or something. But like, you know, it sounds like a very, very safe environment that allowed you and those with you to kind of internally and mentally process the trauma that you were carrying with you.
Amen. This is not, as I alluded to, I had two briefing calls with my guide. There's a manual. Mm-hmm. You can come in with intentions. I mean, you're tight going in. You do an EKG before, you do blood work before. Down there, once you show up, you do a drug and alcohol test. If you got anything in you, you ain't sitting with the medicine. Right? Because people like Google Ibogaine, and of course the fear porn pops up, like 30 people have died.
Yeah.
Over about 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
3,000 people, Google this one, 3,000 people die every year from aspirin.
Yeah.
So they always, these anti whatever people are like, oh, well, people can die on it. Dude, you can.
Don't go to a vending machine. They fall over on a lot of people.
Exactly. And it's sad because just about every death that was associated with like a retreat or Ibogaine was because of either the dude showed up literally on heroin or the guy was drunk or had underlying heart issues. And
yeah.
So don't listen to the fear porn. It's not risk-free. But like I just alluded to, these clinics in Mexico have been doing it for decades. So you are on an EKG. They did screen you. They did look at your blood work. There was two nurses throughout the night. There's a cardiologist downstairs. The guy slept on the couch the whole night just in case something happened. There was an IV port. Everybody had an IV port. There was nothing plugged in. But if they needed to push fluids, for example, with Robert. So, man, you know, 14 hours later, Ryan, I got up. I went downstairs. I'm like, I am a different human being. The colors were brighter. Everything was brighter. I bring that up because, you know, then somebody else came down. Four of us were downstairs. Robert didn't come down until like dinner the next day. He came down for about 5 minutes, looked like shit, and he just went back to bed. And I could tell the doctors were like looking at us like we probably were terrified. And they looked at us and they said, the medicine's working. He's got a lot. It's really digging. We're like, you sure? They're like, yeah, trust us. This is completely normal. People that have a lot in there, the medicine really, really takes its time. So you nailed it. It's clinical, but it's also, you know, I will use the word spiritual, right? You're not in a white room with dudes in lab coats and clipboards. So it's a little bit of both. It's a perfect balance. But to your point, this is not some fly by night, you know, type of place, right? Matter of fact, thank you to the voters in the great states of Oregon and Colorado. These medicines are legal at a state level.
Yeah.
However, nobody's doing Ibogaine yet for all of these reasons. They have to get the infrastructure up. I mean, I'm a partner in a psilocybin clinic that we just opened in Oregon. That's easy, man. Ain't no cardiologists, nurses, EKGs. It's psilocybin, and it's, you know, 2 to 4 hour experience. Yeah. Ibogaine infrastructure is gonna need a little bit more. But man, it was the most transformative experience of my life. I got to experience my sister again, my father, and the medicine went in there and it scrubbed things that I didn't know I was carrying. Right from childhood, and you can choose to use whatever word you want to. I choose to use the word God, you know, source, divine, truth, universe, Steve, call it Steve. I don't give a shit. But even the man, I've seen guys who are the most atheist, agnostic, you know, make fun of God. They come out the other side like, I'm not going to call it God. I'm like, I'm not saying anything. They're like, there was something that was full of love and light and forgiveness, and it helped me. I'm like, okay, yeah, call it Steve. I don't care.
Yeah. That's a shared, I mean, everybody probably experiences a little bit different, but you're saying that's a shared experience across different users.
What's incredible, Ryan, is with the hundreds of people that I've experienced with doing this medicine and my other sister foundations, I don't think we've heard of a single person that's come to the other side that hasn't had that type of experience. But also it's, and I don't know if half is a good word. Everybody reports kind of the first half. The first half, again, choose whatever word you want. I'm going to use God. It was a tour. When I got home, I looked at my wife. I said, I don't have to travel ever again in my life. She's like, why? I saw everything. And now people watching this might chuckle, laugh if you want. I saw everything. I got a tour of everything. You name it, I saw it. And it was almost like God was saying, like, check this out. You are part of all of this, and part of this is you. I can cook, baby. Look at how spectacular this is. We get so into our life. I got to be at practice. I got to pay the taxes, my mortgage, you know, check this out, man. Let's put things into perspective. So that's like, they call it the visualization phase. The medicine goes in there and the first phase is check this out. And then the second half that everybody reports is them. God says, all right, wasn't that cool? Let's go. And then it is no shit, their individual one-on-one. It's like I was sitting in a movie theater, the most beautiful movie theater in the universe next to God, looking at trauma, but not being in the trauma, looking at the childhood stuff. And I could see it completely different. And it was just, you know, I remember at one point just before the, maybe let's call it halftime, right? The visualization happened before God took me and we left. The visualization stopped and I didn't, maybe intuitively I knew that was God doing that, but the first half was just, I'm like, oh my God, I've never seen more beautiful things in my life. And then it, whenever it ended, I'm in space, not like scary space. I'm just like looking like, I'm like, holy shit. Look at just the universe.
Yeah.
There's a big white light right there that appeared. Energy, love, it just emanated. I just felt home. And of course, you know, doubting Wiz here, I'm like, are you God? And it, never any words. It was all energy and communication. God doesn't talk. It was just, you God answers. And of course it was, I am. And I remember saying, wow, where have you been? And God said, I have always been, and I will always be. Where have you been, my son? Right. And that, and it was very loving the way that was, I got that, but it just made me sad. And I remember just crying and going, I am awful. I'm awful. I'm an awful father. I'm an awful husband. I'm a drunk. And, no, God said, Matthew, I don't make imperfect things. You're perfect. Let me take those things. They're not yours. They don't serve you anymore. And literally, Ryan, they were gone. I was forgiven. I felt so much lighter and happier. Wow. And then I got up. He's like, "You good?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Let's go. Let me show you what you can do." And it was just the most incredible experience of my life. But that stuck with me.
Yeah.
I don't make imperfect things. Every one of us, man. I don't care if you're fucking Jeffrey Dahmer, Vladimir Putin. You were born with a piece of that infinite love and light. This shit, this shell, this ego, hate, war, poverty, rich, poor, this buildup, this shit builds up. Mm-hmm. And what the medicine does for just about everybody is it knocks this layer off and it shows you underneath who you truly are. I did my own podcast about this, probably not the most popular one, but man, I probably would have volunteered to go work on Florida's death row to like pull the trigger.
Yeah.
You know who needs this medicine? Do criminals who are going on parole. Reset you. Who you were before is gone.
Yeah.
Let's scrub the shit and reset you to your default state, which is actually good. I guarantee you the rate of recidivism would go down to nearly zero. It was that transformational.
And that's a transformation that you're trying to bring back, to bring this back to the foundation. That experience is something that obviously earth-shattering, groundbreaking for you. And now you're trying to bring that to your brothers and sisters in arms so that they can also live a more full life.
I went downstairs, Ryan, the next morning. I said, "This is how we're going to end veteran suicide."
Yeah.
Period. So I got home and I said, "Susie, this is how we're going to end veteran suicide." So I try and go on just about every retreat that I can. I've missed a couple for scheduling issues, but I'll tell you, Ryan, the retreats I've missed, I've gotten 5 to 7 text messages after those retreats. "Wiz, I don't want to kill myself anymore."
Yeah.
You can't put a dollar. I can't. When I see those, when I get those texts, I have a folder. I keep them in. If I'm having a bad day, I reread those things. So this is how we're going to end veteran suicide. But this is a We the People movement, man. Let me tell you, I went to DC. What a pit, man. Behind closed doors, Republican congressman who shall remain nameless. "Wiz, I love what you're doing." "Okay, great. You're going to have a problem." "What?" "With the big pharma and the alcohol and tobacco folks." I'm like, "What do you mean I'm going to have a problem, dude? Isn't that your job?" So we're kind of pushing the rope uphill right now a little bit. This is this ain't going to come from them down. This is going to come from we up. And I love my hippies and the drug rugs and the mala beads, but the first psychedelic revolution, Timothy O'Leary, "Hey, let's put it in the water." Probably went a little too far.
Yeah.
This psychedelic revolution, Navy SEALs, Navy fighter pilots, athletes, maybe if mom and pop walking down the street, like, "Holy shit, this guy was a Navy fighter pilot and healed his trauma with that stuff," maybe I'll listen to him. Again, not slight my hippie brothers and sisters, but maybe this psychedelic revolution this time around, God just kind of chose some different disciples,
Yeah. Well, I mean, I live in Iowa and medical marijuana is legal here. And I've seen a lot of grandmas with medical cards. So, wheels are moving, things are changing, right? Different generation coming into power.
You are right, man. I've met the most anti-drug law and order Republicans or whoever, and I'll give them my 5-minute story and they're like, "Whoa, I can..." Yeah. People can shift pretty quickly. They know it's not recreational. You're not taking Ibogaine and going to a club, man.
Yeah.
You ain't taking Ibogaine and going anywhere for a weekend. So it's not, this isn't fun.
Right.
Right.
Like you said, it's medicine. It's medicine.
Yeah, it's medicine, right? A drug is made in a lab coat with a beaker. A medicine that God put on this planet for us to heal is not a drug. And that's what's really frustrating to me. Joe Rogan had Governor Perry on a couple weeks ago. Talking about Ibogaine, and he steals my line, man. Governor Perry is like, "Dude, me Republican meat eating knuckle dragon pro, anti-criminal, if I heard me talking about advocating for psychedelics, I'd kick my own ass. But he's gone from the most that to the most this, mainly because, you know, Marcus lived in the governor's mansion with him and he's seen the transmission. So we're getting there. You're right. But you know, I should celebrate this, but it pisses me off. A month and a half ago, the VA announced a $1.5 million study in the psychedelics. Yay. No, yay. The federal government spends $6 million a minute.
Yeah.
It's 15 seconds of funding over 5 years.
Yeah.
Buddy, if you had given our foundation $1.5 million, I'd probably knock half the people off my list. I don't need a study over 5 years. So I think the VA kind of threw a little, you know, threw a penny at us to go, see, you type of people, yeah, we are going to do something about this. Yeah. It ain't enough. But thank God, Pete Hegseth, he was on Sean Ryan recently, and Sean Ryan's a Ibogaine veteran. And Pete Hegseth's like, dude, I've heard a lot of my bros. I'm behind it. J.D. Vance, Marine, was on Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan had to give him a little tutorial on veterans and psychedelics. And he said, wow, this sounds like something I would get behind. And, yeah, and obviously, RFK Jr. going to HHS. If you've never seen it, Google his little 2-3 minute clip when he's asked about psychedelics. It's a tearjerker because he's like, I'm a recovering alcoholic and heroin addict. Mm-hmm. When people talk to psychedelics, I'm like, they are replacing one bad thing for another. And then my wife took her life in 2012. And one of my boys was done. When his mom left, he left too. And then a buddy of his dragged him to Peru, did ayahuasca, and he came home. And as soon as I saw him, I got my son back. So RFK is another one that went from this to this. Because Richard Nixon, hopefully he's in heaven and repented. The war on drugs with psychedelics was going after political opponents. Anti-war. Yep. Wait, you did these mushrooms and it makes you love people in Vietnam? Well, now they're a felony and here's your rifle. Yeah. So we are still fighting that stigma. But like you alluded to, we're getting there, man. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first couple steps.
First step. You bet. And that, you know, my last question for you is, you know, what does the next few years look like for the foundation and where are you hoping to grow? And so like, what does the next couple of years look like? It looks like the table might be set for some positivity, but you know, what do you think?
Let me lead with this. My mission objective for the next 3 to 5 years with the foundation is to go away. There shouldn't be a No Fallen Heroes Foundation. There should not be one veteran nonprofit, period. How about the government, the VA, the DOD? Keep the promises. I went from one day having a top secret SCI clearance, flying the premier fighter aircraft in the world, to the next day being a liar. To the next day, to the VA saying, no, we don't believe any of that, none of this. What are you talking about? You just trusted me. Now it's a court case. Now we don't believe you. What are you talking? I gave up after 3 years. I didn't need, it was a matter of principle for me. I didn't need the money or the benefits. I'm like, fuck you, man. I earned this. 3 years later, now I know why a dude would sit in the parking lot and put a bullet in his head. It's a shit show. So let me lead with that. I don't want to be doing this. I shouldn't be doing this. But I guess I mean, I do want to be doing this since the government isn't. So we should go away, period. But as I alluded to, and if Trump, Vance, RFK, Hegseth don't move the ball forward, I will take a flamethrower to them too. I am nonpartisan about this stuff. But as opposed to Democrats who are paying lip service to it, oh, sure, peace, love, and everything. Turns out when I was in D.C., they're pro-war right now. Everything's reversed. Right. In the 60s, they were anti-war and anti-government and big pharma. They are pro-pharma. While they were paying lip service, oh, yeah, psychedelics, we're the party that should already be there. They're not. So when I hit Republicans with it, they're like, wait, this is healing our veterans? Boom, I'm in for it. So we should see some movement in this direction. And then finally, if it ain't happening at the federal level, I just had a great meeting 2 days ago up in Palm Beach, literally near Mar-a-Lago, with my commissioners to decrim at the state level or legalize at the state level. Ron DeSantis, if you're listening, you're failing. You're a fellow Navy officer veteran and you're failing. I think was it California, Texas, and Florida have the most amount of veterans? Where are you? Thank you, Colorado and Oregon. And Jersey. I think Jersey at least decrimmed. I don't think they legalized. Massachusetts voters, you suck. It got close and failed. I think they needed 60%. Whatever happened in Mass, I don't know. California, Gavin, where are you? You would think California would be super pro psychedelics. Every year it gets close to Gavin, and for whatever reason, it fails. So we need efforts at the state level, right? You know, technically with the stroke of a pen, Trump could reclassify something from a Schedule I drug, which is Ibogaine, to a Schedule III, which is a doctor's prescription. But calling a Ibogaine, the definition of a Schedule I drug is no therapeutic use and a high risk of addiction. That's a cigarette, and that's alcohol.
Yeah.
They are legal.
Yeah.
Ibogaine is anti-addictive. I couldn't drink for a year. It made me want to vomit. And it was the most therapeutic thing in my life. So they've labeled Ibogaine the exact opposite of what it is.
Yeah.
But bro, you know, well as I do, our government agencies, the DEA sinks their teeth. It's a jobs program.
Yeah.
It is an absolute jobs program. So that sounded like a rant, but take all of that rant and turn it to the other direction. And if those things don't happen, we're moving the ball forward. But I'm very, hopefully you can tell, I'm very passionate about this because we're losing gals and guys. In the hour you and I talked, a couple people checked out. It's a horror.
Yeah.
So I can't, forgive me for being, you know, overly motivated, but when you lose buddies to suicide, you're like, what the fuck are we waiting for? Let's go.
Right. Well, because each day we don't go, it's 22 more people at least gone, right?
What is it, 100?
It's more.
Since 9/11, we've lost 150,000 veterans to suicide.
Yeah.
What, at the same time, it was like 9, I should know the number. God, please forgive me, 8,000, 9,000 in combat. We're losing the war at home, man. And before we go, let me say this. These medicines are not for everybody. Please. There are so many different healing modalities. Yoga, hot yoga, meditation, breath work, walking on the beach, climbing a mountain in Nepal, knitting. Yeah. I don't care. Cold plunges. There are so many different healing modalities. This is one of them. But I'll leave you with this. Radical trauma might need radical healing.
You bet.
And getting your ass kicked on a mattress in Mexico can be some radical healing. But I said I'd leave you with this, but one more sentence. If I heard 5 years ago, me heard me say this sentence, I'd give me a wedgie and take my lunch money. The medicine calls to you. If you listen to all this and you went, that sounds like the dumbest thing in the world. It ain't calling to you. Mm. If you listen to any of this and went, huh, let me open a tab and Google something. It might be calling to you. And I'm here as a resource, man. I am an open book. And you know, I have my Max. I'd love to have you on mine. My Max Afterburner podcast. I interview all of our grant recipients, first responders and family members and vets that we heal. And that's, you want to talk about something funny, man. We have active duty law enforcement officers, state troopers and stuff like that, doing the medicine under the radar. That should tell you something about where we are. And current I have airline pilot brothers and sisters, current captains and first officers. I'm going to drop a week of leave at American and go to Mexico and unfornicate myself. And they go home and they're different human beings. So it's kind of sad that we have to do this stuff under the radar, but the world's going to be a much better place if people heal.
Yeah. Well, and it's a point of getting to a critical mass. If there's enough people all flying under the radar and they realize, wait a minute, there's more of us flying under the radar than not, you know, then there might be a huge great awakening.
You know, what's funny is there was a couple team guys. They weren't in our foundation. They were working with another one. They admitted that they were working for an alphabet agency in whatever form they had to renew on. They're like, yep, did this.
Yeah.
They got a call. And I'm like, oh shit. They're like, no. We got a call from a guy that was like, hey, what's the name of the clinic and what's the number? They didn't get in trouble. They were honest. I mean, Uncle Sam said, all right, thanks for being honest. And how can I do that?
Yeah. Get some references, right?
Exactly.
Wiz, really appreciate your time. We will put up all of your contact information on the website when we post this story. really appreciate it, man. And hopefully we can meet up down the road, chat in 6 months or so, and get a progress report and see where we're standing. Sound good?
Awesome, my brother. God bless. And thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Serving you clarity through context, our mission at SAN is to deliver the news straight down the middle. We're different from mainstream media because we spotlight distorted headlines and show you how to do it too. Discover stories that right and left-leaning outlets are choosing not to cover by using our Media Mist tool. Download the SAN app and turn on notifications to have straight facts delivered right to your phone or tablet, and get straight facts anytime at SAN.com.
All opinions expressed in this segment are solely the opinions of the contributors.
All right, folks, that'll do it for us this week on Weapons and Warfare. As a reminder, please don't forget to like and subscribe to our social media feeds to stay up to date on all the latest from the show. Also, like I mentioned during the interview with Wiz, we have links to the No Fallen Heroes Foundation on our website, SAN.com, which kind of leads me to my wrap topic for this week, which is a short one. When it comes to what we in modern society consider medicine, I think it may be time to expand our horizons a little bit and maybe take a cue from our ancestors. Like cannabis or psilocybin mushrooms, iboga was in use for generations before the United States was ever founded. It's time our leaders stop clutching their pearls every time these substances get brought up in a medical discussion. Will these treatments work for everyone? Probably not, but the data is there, proving these treatments can make an impact on a person's positivity and their general outlook on life. Simply put, these treatments can save lives. And after putting theirs on the line for us, this country owes it to our service members to give them every chance to succeed. For senior producer Brett Baker, video editor Brian Spencer, and graphics artist Dakota Patillo, I'm Ryan Robertson with Straight Arrow News, signing off.